morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lagos, editor-chief of ASI's magazines, and we've got a show for you. We're going to talk a lot of green today.
Green.
And I don't think...
Green.
Not even St. Patty's Day green, but earth-friendly.
Why don't we save this for next week?
Why don't we save it for next week?
I mean, why didn't we?
It's already
next
on
week,
the
St. Patty's Day.
She just said we're not talking about St. Patty's Day green.
I know, but it would have
been... Pay attention, Kathy. All right, and with that, Kathy Houston, editor of Advantage, is here. How are you, Kathy? A little confused this morning.
I'm a little confused. Well, I was out sick last week, so I'm finally... feeling better. The fog is finally clearing.
Michelle Bell, editor of Supplier Global Resource Magazine, is here. Michelle, what's going on?
I am moderating a webinar today, 2 o'clock Eastern Time.
And it is how to have more effective trade shows?
And generate more leads and how to follow up with them with success. So 2 o'clock today, and you can get information on our website, asicentral.com/radio.
This is free for suppliers.
For mainly suppliers, but also distributors who may want to listen for and give their clients advice when they're exhibiting at trade shows.
Yeah,
they also exhibit
idea.
At trade shows themselves, right. Not our industry trade shows, but...
All right. Well, it's something you won't want to miss. You're going to have some great speakers as well.
I am. Dan Towns and Christopher Duffy from Bagmakers and Larry Wilhelm from Custom HBC, all people who do really, really well at trade shows and have mastered the fine art of following up with a trade show lead.
All right. Cool. Well, check it out. It's not too late to register. Andy Cohn, you're busy with the promogram today and all kinds of other news. What's going on?
Well, I'll talk about that
in
the news
segment. You're going to give us the news in 60 seconds.
I would not
hold your
want to just, you know,
you're
ruin that surprise right now.
Well, it's good to see you. Joe Haley.
Hey, good to see
everybody's
you, too.
Everybody's favorite managing editor is here. How are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
Good. Do you have something to rant about today?
I do not.
You do
what?
Not?
I do not.
What?
You look very happy and calm, actually.
I am.
But that's what I said to him. I said, if you don't have a rant, then everything must be going well.
Oh, there's plenty of stuff I can go on, off on, but
that's all right.
Nothing
Let's
for the
not
radio.
Get him started. Steve Hawk is here, and he's fiddling with some gadgets. So
Steve Hawk
hopefully
is...
he gets that all taken care of. Vinny Driscoll will be answering your phone calls today.
With your
gadgets. We're going to be talking about eco-friendly products, how to sell them, any questions you have or ideas that you want to share with us on how to be successful selling green products. Call us at 215-953-4979. And, of course, if we put you on the air, we'll give you a $25 Visa gift card. Joe, tell us what's on tap for today's show.
All right. Other than that eco subject, which we also got some posts sent to us on our Facebook page, we have something on Alice in Wonderland. They are projected
I saw the movie.
Oh, how was it?
Was it good?
That Johnny Depp is sure great.
Okay.
That's quite a review.
How about the rest of them? Made eyes when I said Johnny Depp.
I love Johnny Depp.
Oh, the voice just came out.
Go ahead,
okay.
Joe.
Well, anyway, they are projected to sell a lot of consumer products, and Michelle has a report on that. What are the top states in health, economic health, Andy? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Job boom states.
Top job boom states. Okay, well, Kathy has a report
Obviously
on that.
Obviously, Kathy knows, though.
I'm going to say somewhere in the Pacific Northwest, but we'll find out.
We'll
soon.
Find out. Andy's going to talk about a U.S. travel promotion bill that was signed into law. I have a world record that I'm going to let everyone know what's going on with that. We have five hot tips for effective customer service and 10 meeting mistakes. We have some other things on the docket, but we'll get started first with the industry news, Andy.
Go, Andy.
All right. Thanks, Joe. We lead off this morning with breaking news from top 40 distributor Proforma. The company has struck an agreement with Global Source Link. More than 100 salespeople from Global Source Link will now become individual members of the Proforma network. Proforma expects to add about $30 million in annual revenue as a result of the deal. Top 40 supplier CoreVest has a new owner today. The company, which is the parent of Advolite, It's All Greek to Me, and Toppers, was purchased by Siglo Holdings, a venture capital firm. Bernard Finley, the owner of Siglo, now becomes the new CEO of CoreVest. Supplier firm Wendell August Forge says it intends to rebuild its workshop and gift shop after a fire destroyed both this past weekend. Bill Necht, CEO of the Grove City, Pennsylvania company, said the firm will rebuild beginning immediately. And two people on the move notes this morning, Sheila Johnshoy has been named as Vice President of Marketing at ePromos, and Forrest Fairley takes over Johnshoy's former role as Director of Image Products for the Deluxe Corporation. Plus, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe Show and Promogram today. Joe, what are you showing off this afternoon?
Andy, we're going to showcase more of those products that are finalists for the Counselor's Product Design Award.
Yes, and everybody should go vote in the Counselor Product
Absolutely.
Design Awards.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Andy. And we're going to start taking your calls now at 215-953-4979. Any questions you have about selling eco-friendly products, we're all ears. As Joe said, Vinnie Driscoll posted some questions about Earth Day on our ASI Central Facebook fan page, and we actually got lots of responses. Some are very pro-eco and are having a lot of success. One person, Pam Jenkins Matthews, though, said hardly anybody wants eco-friendly products. It's a Walmart world out there. Buyers are looking for cheap, cheap, cheap Chinese goods. And then she put a sad face.
Oh.
So poor Pam is not not very happy about eco-friendly products. But for the most part, most of the comments were really positive. A lot of distributors had questions about what really constitutes an eco-friendly supplier. I know that's something we've covered a lot in the magazines. Let's see. There's one, Lynn Jasinski said, at my distributor, we sometimes debate the line, so to say, for eco-friendly products. USB drives, for instance, promote paperless practices. So even if they're not made of recyclable materials, they can be marketed as eco-friendly. That's the same with reusable grocery totes. Even if they're not made out of recyclable material, they can still be used in environmental friendly ways. So basically, her question is, where exactly is the line in promotional product marketing for green products? What's truly eco-friendly and what's not? And Michelle, I know you get asked that all the time.
Well, and there's a comment from Craig Morantz, who's the vice president of Leeds, and I think companies like Leeds and Prime and other suppliers have standards set up. A lot of them are uniform, but what Craig says here on our Facebook page is that Leeds has specific guidelines that they follow: a minimum of 51% recycled materials, rapidly renewable and biodegradable and organic. They also donate money to the American Forest. I think you have to look at specific suppliers. And at this point, I think the smart ones have things on their website that would tell distributors exactly what constitutes what eco, green, recyclable, organic, the different definitions.
Yeah, so and each supplier is different. So you really have to learn the ones that are eco-friendly and kind of what their line is, I guess.
And you have to ask questions. You have to ask
people. What would you say,
people?
I mean, about, you know, USB drives as an example, or the recyclable
grocery
bags?
I think you have
to
discuss that with your client. Like, mm-hmm. How eco-friendly do you want to be? Do you want to be selling USB, I mean, giving away USB drives that will help save the environment from paper? And things like that, but just see with them, check with them how far they want to go, and then if
sure.
they want
explain
to be
all
totally
their options.
Eco-friendly, then you have to, like Michelle said,
yeah,
look
I mean,
the standards.
Yeah, a product that they want to just use as a bag that they call reusable
right.
is vastly different than recyclable,
right?
So,
but still
you
good
have
for
to
the
be,
environment,
right? It is because they're not using a plastic bag, mm-hmm. but if a client wants to have a program that truly includes eco-friendly products, then it's not just any bag that you could reuse at a supermarket.
Right.
So, you, like Kathy said, you really do have to find out the needs and sort of
and
desires
what do they
of your client.
To be eco-friendly.
Exactly.
Right. You know, it's something in the manufacturing process might not be eco-friendly, but in the end run, the long run, like the USB stick, it is going to save use of a lot of paper. So,
you know what I thought was interesting here? Tiffany Searles made a comment on our Facebook site about people are starting to request more about the imprinting methods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And are
the inks
green?
Yeah.
And are the inks biodegradable? And I think that's something we're going to see more of.
Yeah, that's something. Absolutely. Like you can have 100% organic cotton t-shirt, but if you're using a plastisol-based ink on it, well, that printing process is not all that eco-friendly because they got to use special chemicals to wash out the
mm-hmm.
screens.
Mm-hmm. Tiffany also commented in a separate posting that bamboo is considered very eco-friendly because it grows really quickly.
4 feet
but
a day.
That the process mm-hmm. that it's used
not so friendly to the
is
environment.
Not so eco-friendly.
Right.
Do we have? She wanted to know if we have any facts on that. Maybe we can post something on our Facebook site about that. I know we've written about it.
Yeah, and we've talked about it on the radio before.
You can actually go to Google and say how fast does bamboo grow, and you'll get a whole bunch of links that'll tell you about bamboo, how it's grown, why it's grown the way it is, how it's processed.
Or Google bamboo plus eco-friendly and see what they say about its eco-friendliness.
Yeah, because I know it does kind of lose some of that in mm-hmm. the manufacturing. Well, we've got some callers. You can still call us 215-953-4979 for any questions or comments you have about eco-friendly products. And online we have Buck. Good morning, Buck. Line one.
Hello.
Hi, Buck. How are you?
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Just a quick question. In the past, when my clients have asked for green ad specialty items, I guess there weren't that many options. I was just wondering, is this changing?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Totally.
I would
oh,
say,
my God.
I would say about 10 years ago when we were doing eco-friendly product showcases in Counselor Magazine, we would struggle to find 7 products to be able to showcase.
Well, now we have, at the shows, we have our own eco pavilion within the Advantage's new product
That's
pavilion.
That's right. That's right.
With a whole showcase of new eco products.
And at the ASI San Diego show, I saw lots of suppliers with lots of eco-friendly products. I mean, they were really...
It seems like that's the norm now that
yeah,
they all have
definitely
counter, you know,
yeah.
something.
Most suppliers have you know, launch some sort of eco line in some way.
And Joe, I know some, you're going to be doing some upcoming Joe shows on eco-friendly products, and I know you found even some really unusual ones out
there. For Earth Day, Aunt Betty's, I'm sorry, I'm when you get it, Aunt Beth's Cookies Keeper, they actually have a line of bamboo dinnerware. Everything is made out of bamboo. That goes from knives and forks to plates of bowls.
I think I saw that at the ASI San Diego.
Yeah, and it was also in Advantages magazine. So that's, again, it's made with bamboo, which is very renewable. There's an elephant poo journal, which we've seen from time to time out there.
I love that.
Yeah, it's actually made out of recycled
elephant poo.
Very good, very good. So what's more eco-friendly than that? And they're also getting real big with recycling rubber tires. We've seen it with jar openers and pencils as well. So, I mean, those are things that clients can always tie into. If you've got someone in the automotive industry, they can use that recycled rubber tire pencil or jar opener to give out to promote their business and say, we don't just take your old tires and throw them in a landfill. We make sure that they get recycled into what I'm giving you right here.
I would say that one trend that I saw when I was at the show overseas in Dusseldorf is that green and eco products are starting to look more high-end.
Definitely.
In the past, they used to look kind of like earthy, crunchy. Mm-hmm. While that was good for the environment, not so attractive, not so upscale, not so retail-looking. That's changing.
You know, the other thing you got to look out for is how the product is spun. I mean, this coffee mug here that I just picked up, this could be eco-friendly because it's not a paper cup that once the coffee is done, you throw away. So I think that suppliers...
And it's what your client's expectations.
Yeah, right, and suppliers are starting to market their products that way. But you also got to watch out what they call greenwashing, which is, you know, an improper telling of, you know, this product is truly eco-friendly.
And again, that's why you have to look into the standards and also ask your clients their expectations.
Well, I hope that gives you some ideas, Buck. And stay on the line for your Visa gift card.
Thank you.
Give us a call, 215-953-4979. We're talking about eco-friendly products today. And we have Stanley, one of our favorite callers on line three. How are you, Stanley?
Darnold Stanley.
Great. How are you?
Good. Now, you're out in California, so you guys do a lot of eco stuff out there.
Yeah, we had a client that came up with a really cool program. They wanted to get people to think green and actually start riding their bikes to work. And the program went like, we had an organic shirt. We had it printed with organic ink. And it was just for a group of 30 or so employees. And the contest was to see who could bring in the most flat tires and tires from their bicycles. And then we sent the tires and flat tires off to a supplier who makes their products out of these products. And it turned into like this beautiful briefcase bag as the prize. And so the whole month, everybody was thinking green, and it worked out really nice.
That's cool.
I like that idea. There's actually a supplier out there that makes golf balls out of recycled golf balls, and they include in the box a bag that when you damage those golf balls, you can send them back to the company, and then they will again recycle them. So same process with those tires.
And there's also a supplier out there, we featured this in Advantages, that as Michelle was talking about, the high-end looking things, they make high-end totes out of recycled billboards, recycled advertising billboards, which is a really cool idea.
That'll be on today's Joe Show.
Really?
Cool. You saw it first on the Joe Show. Well, that's cool. I think right now is the great time for distributors to work with companies on crafting any eco-friendly promotions, especially with Earth Day. So thanks very much for calling in, Stanley, and stay on the line for your gift card.
Here's my question, though. My question is this. It's been real tough with when do you think that there'll be so many green products that the price will really be almost like the same? Is there going to be a time where it's going to be the same? What are your predictions?
Michelle, you're kind of nodding your head.
I think
prices have come down.
They have come down. I think that will they ever be as inexpensive as something from China? No, they won't.
No, they won't. You're right. They won't. But it's a value add item, you know, and it sort of has to be the value that companies get from promoting themselves with it has to be sold like that.
But for Advantages, we've spoken with suppliers that manufacture their own products right here in the U.S. And for them, a lot of them say that it's not any more expensive to manufacture eco-friendly products.
So U.S.-made supplier, the margin might be
smaller
between the eco and the regular. Or non-existent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good news.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks, Stanley.
Thank you.
Stay on the line. And now we're going to go to line two. And we have Tina calling in this morning. Hi, Tina.
Good morning. How is everyone?
Great. How are you?
Good, thanks. Well, I have a question. I was hoping you could give me some ways that I could use the whole eco movement in my sales pitch to help me get more sales.
I would say when you're presenting an item, see if the suppliers that you're using offer a similar eco-friendly item and present both options to your client. Who knows? They might have never thought of going eco-friendly, but if you're presenting both options, they might do that.
I think the other important thing is that you just can't talk the talk. I mean, you got to walk the walk. So if you want to pitch eco-friendly items, you got to be eco-friendly yourself.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know, like I just said about eco-friendly items with the previous caller, the sell is probably a value add, you know, and the items can help your clients promote themselves as eco-friendly and green and caring about the environment. So if you have any clients that are doing that, you know, then that's the opportunity to sort of upsell them to green items.
Well, hope that gives you some good ideas, Tina.
Okay,
and stay
thanks.
On the line for your Visa gift card. Thanks for calling us this morning.
Thank you.
It's not too late to call us at 215-953-4979 to talk about green products. We have more Facebook messages coming in, too. Vanessa Zirkelbach talks about how eco-friendliness is important to her company as well. She says, green is always a step forward for us. We do what we can with what is available and hope to be doing more and more each day. They're trying to go paperless in their office, trying to buy organic products, and, of course, doing recycling and giving back to the community and environment. So her company's working on that effort right now. But we're going to continue the conversation on our ASI Central Facebook fan page. So sign up for that and go to it today, and you can give more comments and ask more questions about green products. All right, Joe, you promised us some Alice in Wonderland products. What do you
have? I promised
there?
That Michelle would do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Michelle, what do you have?
Well, the movie opened, and would you like to guess how much money it raked in from Friday to Sunday, opening weekend?
$150 million.
No. It raked in $116.3 million, but it beat Avatar. Beat Avatar. Avatar was $77
million. Because everybody had seen that movie already.
Well, that was opening weekend.
Oh, opening weekend.
Opening weekend for Avatar was $77
million.
Oh, wow.
So
double.
That's pretty impressive.
Nearly double.
That is
yeah.
impressive.
So what Disney wants to do, smarties that they are, is that they want to try to target adults, especially adult women, by selling Alice-inspired upscale merchandise, jewelry, dresses at places like Bloomingdale's, Macy's, and Saks. Also, retailers wow. like Hot Topic are bringing out a line of clothes that are Alice-inspired. OPI, the nail polish company, has a whole line of nail polish with different brands that are based around Alice in Wonderland.
No, I was at Claire's with my daughter this weekend, mm-hmm. and they are doing a big Alice in Wonderland promo, and they had a whole poster, and all the models were wearing hats like mm-hmm. the Mad Hatter.
Experts are guessing, because Disney won't say specifically, but that this will generate $100 million to $1 billion in sales just on the merchandise alone. Yeah,
wow.
Because it's going to be such a craze. And I think what you have to look at is not just what you think of as typical Alice in Wonderland, but the way that it can be kind of watered down and diluted for the retail market. Kind of Victorian,
right.
You know, lace, gloves.
The hats,
things
so,
like that.
So, Michelle, are you going to Saks this weekend to go get some Alice in Wonderland merchandise?
Some lace gloves.
I have lace gloves, I'll have you know.
I think Andy should
wear
a hat.
To work.
You would look
a
great
hat?
As a Mad Hatter.
Sort of fedora-like?
Absolutely.
No,
sweet.
One of those big ones.
Whatever.
It'll hide your luscious locks, though.
Yeah, well, we don't have to worry about that.
All right, thanks, Michelle. We're going to pause for a message from today's show sponsor. When we return, we have Becky Blair from Dunbrook on the line.
This portion of ASI Radio was sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com.
We are back with ASI's Tuesday morning show, and I guess I haven't had my coffee this morning because I just said we had Becky Blair from Dunbrook on the line. Becky Blair, we know you're from Geiger. Welcome, and thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you, and that is a common mistake, as I did work for Dunbrook for 10 years, and that's not a problem, so but I am with Geiger now.
All right, Becky, will you have a green comment or question?
Well, actually, I have a suggestion.
Okay.
For distributors going in to sell green. If they'll take and go into ESP and type in those key buzzwords like corn and recycled and, you know, organic and you know, all those great buzzwords, and actually make a list and show their customers, look, we have thousands of products available to you in this eco-friendly category. Because I think so many times customers don't realize how the choices that we have. They think, oh, you've only got three, you know. But when you start looking up those buzzwords and making a list, it's very impressive, and it lets people know that, yeah, there are 900,000 products in the you know, in our industry, but there's also thousands and thousands in this eco-friendly category, and it grows all the time, so keep your list updated.
That's a great point. Are you all having success at Geiger? Are your distributors selling a lot of Eco these days, Becky?
Yes, we are. We are.
Okay, great. Michelle, you were nodding your head about
I think that Becky's assessment is correct. I would think that distributors don't have any idea, really, the throngs of products that are now available. They probably think there are only a handful.
That's great. So keyword searches will be really helpful. All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Becky, and stay on the line for your Visa gift card. Have a great day.
Thanks.
All right. Kathy, you are going to tell us about the top states with the healthiest economies. Let's all guess a state. Michelle, top state?
Texas.
Well, these are the healthiest states for jobs.
Wait. We were all guessing.
Yes. I know. I'm just telling you. Oh. It's not the healthiest economy. It's where the job boom is right now.
Where the job boom.
Okay. So Michelle says Texas.
Texas.
I'm going to say Oregon.
Nebraska.
Colorado.
Did any of us get any right?
Joe's the highest up. And Michelle's, Michelle's
on
there.
I was going to actually say Texas.
Two of you. Meh. Okay,
but when
first,
she took it, I had to go elsewhere. Thanks, Michelle.
Number one is Wyoming.
Really?
Yes.
But how many people actually live there?
It's a beautiful state.
Well, there's a lot of entrepreneurs
in Wyoming.
You know what the hot industry is there? Outpatient health care.
Okay.
Yes. Number two, Colorado, Joe.
Interesting.
The hot industry in Colorado is air transportation.
They're big in high tech,
and
too, in Colorado.
Their employment growth through 2018 is predicted to be almost 23%. Number three is Louisiana. Hot industry, mining support. Mining support. Number four is Texas. As Michelle said, hot industries, sporting goods, hobby, book, and music retail. Number five, New Hampshire. The hot industry is computer software engineering. And number six is Virginia, with employment growth predicted through 2018 to be 15%. And the hot industry in Virginia is restaurants and bars.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So there you go.
Okay, so
who's moving to Colorado?
Opportunities there for distributors.
You know, I've heard a lot of distributors actually recently say that restaurants and bars have been increasingly using promotional products and just increasing their purchases of marketing programs in general.
Right. Well, everybody wants to drown their sorrows.
I guess they do. Yeah, and they're also eating out more.
I think restaurants too are being more.
I'm surprised by that too.
I think they're being more creative with their promotions. Yeah. I read an article where a lot of them are having more specials for happy hour to draw people in and doing more creative things like, you know, order one drink, get another free, and take the glass with you. I think a lot of them are doing promotions like
that.
Their
own kind of stimulus. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know. Applebee's in our town, they have like a calendar now. They have like a different event every night. You know, they have those Quizzo games and they have a Ween night with kids and they definitely have promotional products tied to all that.
Yep.
All right, so Andy, the U.S. travel promotion bill has been signed into law. What does that mean for the industry?
Well, you can consider this the bailout for the travel and tourism industry in a sense. The law is basically meant to promote the U.S. as a destination for international travelers. The law is that there's a $10 fee being charged to visitors now from other countries once every 2 years. So if you keep coming here, you don't get that fee every time you come. But that brings about $100 million into the program. And there's private sector contributions of $100 million as well. So there's $200 million basically as a fund that that tourism organizations can use to promote the U.S. as a destination for international travelers. And the whole problem was that the U.S. had 633,000 fewer visitors from overseas in 2008 than it did in the year 2000. So the trend has been going backwards for international visitors coming to the U.S. So they're trying to pick that up, and economists say that some of this promotion can help to bring in about 1.6 million new international visitors annually. That's the goal of the program.
Well, that's some good news.
Yeah.
Now, Joe, we've all seen pictures of you and your little Snuggie at home.
Yes.
And all your family members.
Mm-hmm. It's really quite a picture.
The Slanket, I know, is popular, which is similar to the Snuggie, right?
Yes.
Tell us about what's going on.
Steve, do you have a fanfare on your menu?
Not queued up.
How about a drum roll? Give me a drum roll here. On March 5th at a Cleveland Cleveland Cavaliers game versus the Detroit Pistons,
they sent
a Guinness Book of World Record for the most amount of people in one location wearing, and actually is, a Snuggie. It's a logo Snuggie, and it is in the Monk maroon color. You know, it makes everyone look like a monk.
Is
Michelle
that the
says.
Color you have?
We have one of those, and we have like the light blue, the teal, whatever it is. And 20,559 people wore them, plus one person wore a Detroit Pistons snuggie, all in one place, and they had to wear it for 5 minutes as the big board counted down, which is. You know, the rise in popularity of this product, they've sold over 20 million units.
Did they give – they gave them out,
They gave
right?
them out. Everyone came into the yeah. stadium, and it was already on their seat.
Right.
So they all had these, you know, logoed Snuggies. Everyone looked like they were having a great time. And I don't know. I think the other important thing about this story is that you can have a Guinness Book or World Record for the stupidest things in the world. So,
that's not a cheap
I
promotion.
Love this. No, it's
Those
not.
Those things are not cheap.
No. I'd love
20,
the Snuggie.
Of those
but I think it's going to give them a lot of good press and stuff, and
hey,
more people are going to want to buy by. Yeah.
And also Steve Martin. And Alec Baldwin were wearing them on the Oscars.
So
the
funny.
Yeah,
that was
that
great.
Was funny.
Why I miss that part?
They did a cutaway to the two of them sitting on the couch with their slankets on, all mm-hmm. cuddled up.
Oh.
But I think it's a distributor out there. You can get them in the industry, and you can get the slanket and the hug me.
Yeah, there's a few that sell them.
Yeah, go to local high schools and colleges and stuff because young kids just absolutely love them.
That's true.
And, you know,
and
they,
the old men like Joe.
Yeah, they're comfy. You can do anything in it. I have a bunch of pictures of showing I can do anything.
All right, anything.
Anything.
Michelle, I know how much you love sitting in meetings. Today
oh
you've
God.
Got some meeting mistakes that people should not make. What do you have?
I do. Well, a recent survey found managers said that 28% of scheduled meetings are an utter waste of time. I would actually disagree and say it's way more than
that. Yeah, I was going to say it's more than that.
Considering that on average, executives spend 4 days a week in meetings, that's a lot of wasted time. So here are top 10.
4 days a week out of a 5-day work week? Is that it? What it?
That's
well,
exactly what it's
part
on average.
Of the time,
yeah.
Right?
That's crazy.
So to get the most out of your meetings, avoid some of these things. See, there's 10 here. I'm going to talk about maybe 5. We'll put the rest on our website. Don't have a meeting just because you always have a meeting.
Oh, that is so annoying.
It is very annoying yeah. and not productive. Really, mm-hmm. not the best use of time. Going into meetings without stated of objectives and a clearly defined outcome. So you mm-hmm. really need to have an agenda and not let everything go off the rails. Don't overload the schedule without giving participants time to settle in and catch their breath and just relax for a couple minutes. Don't focus on only one mode of communicating. For example, somebody getting up and talking at a podium. I mean, we all now have access to so many different forms of multimedia. Take advantage of that. Poor coordination and communication among speakers can result in conflicting messages and unnecessary repetition. And that just drives me crazy mm-hmm. with the redundancy. Making no provision for building on a meeting's objectives or goals after the fact. That's a big problem because a lot of yeah. people feel like they sit in meetings, they go through the process, and then nothing comes of it, mm-hmm. and it's a waste of their time. And lastly, not updating the meeting structure to reflect the changes in the company, the audience, or the culture at large. So you really have to pay attention. I mean, if there are a lot of younger people in your company, a lot of maybe tech-savvy people, use that in meetings. Address them in the way that they'd like to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Those are some good tips. We're going to put those up on our ASI radio site.
We are.
You know what I like? We have a Monday morning production meeting, Joan and I, with our designers and photographers, and it's more or less a stand-up meeting. We come out real quick. The longest they've ever gone is 10, 15 minutes. And, you know, we know what we're going in with. We talk about the week ahead, and we're done. So.
Is everybody standing up?
No, I am.
They do that though. At,
we don't have enough chairs. That's the reason.
I've heard of
at Tom Noe's company at Keyback, they take the chairs out of meetings for out
that
of the meeting
I've
room.
Heard
so
of that
they
strategy, and I think it's a good one actually because you're not going to stand nearly as long as you're going to be sitting.
We have more energy.
We have an executive here who we all know and like. Who his new strategy for ending a meeting, if people just keep talking and going on and on, is just getting up and walking out the door. And he's the meeting leader, so if he leaves, then. Everyone else has to leave. So there's
it's a
always
good signal
that
for
when you're
the meeting to be over.
When you're desperate, just walk out the door. All right, Kathy, the job market is still a little shaky right now. Some people are worried about losing their jobs. So how can they make themselves more indispensable?
Well, this seems obvious, but you can enhance your odds of promotion and making yourself indispensable by suggesting ways to solve problems rather than being the root of problems. Taking the initiative on projects, sharpening your skills, and showing a willingness to help others. Presenting that to your manager shows you're taking initiative, which makes you more valuable. You'll be seen as a person who's mindful of the company's bottom line, who has the ability to do something about it. You also want to carve out a niche for yourself in the company, one that sets you apart as an expert. And you don't have to necessarily learn something new to do that. Let's say you're very proficient with numbers, like I am.
Yeah. since you couldn't calculate.
So then you can become a master at Excel so that within the organization, you're the go-to person for that program. So you're building on your strengths and you're letting your weaknesses go.
So does that mean you're going to start calculating things for us?
I do calculate things based on
She said that
one
you should
Excel
build
sheet.
On your strengths.
That's right.
That
but
wouldn't be building.
Rich actually had to set up the Excel sheet for me so I could do a monthly calculation for a department and advantages because I'm that deficient.
All right, great. Well, we are going to finish off with Joe. Joe, you're going to tell us why product placement is here to stay.
Well, it used to be when you watched a TV show, you would see a Coke on a table or they'd open up a refrigerator and you might see a Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket of fried chicken there. Well, because more people...
In the refrigerator?
Well, if it's leftover, why don't you put it in the refrigerator? Okay, it's just that's how product placement in TV shows and movies used to be. However, since more people now are TiVoing their shows and watching things on demand and they're not watching commercials... Well, these companies got to find a way to get, you know, in those shows. And how's it happening? Well, on 30 Rock, Alex Baldwin's character was talking about the Cisco system teleconferencing. On 90210, teenagers were talking about how they just love Dr. Pepper. These were paid spots. So, you know.
I'm sure they were. Yeah. Nobody in a script is talking about a product without it being paid for.
Yeah, so because of the fact that no one's watching it anymore, everyone's fast-forwarding through commercials, they're channel surfing and stuff, these companies need to get out there in front, so they're placing themselves within TV shows.
I would actually disagree with Andy on Sex and the City. Manolo Blahnik did not pay for those spots, but that was an integral part of the show.
Yeah, that's right.
Jimmy Choo and Manolo Blahnik. However, on the show Burn Notice, they whip around in the new Hyundai cars. And if you look at the commercials, Hyundai is a sponsor
of the show.
Yeah, those
are definitely.
And also, Sex and the City was big before TiVo was big, I think. You know what I mean? So people weren't flipping through the commercials as easily.
And then some of them don't seem as intrusive, and others are more intrusive where they, you know, they'll talk about a product and you got to zoom up of it. You know, these cars, they'll get out of like a Honda or a Ford and they'll close the door and you'll see a close-up then of the logo. So. Mm-hmm. It's going to get worse and worse and worse, or if you consider that worse. You're going to see more and more of it.
Did you guys see the winner of the Best Short Animated Film at the Oscars was a
the
movie
logo
called
thing?
Logorama?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was funny.
2,000 logos used without the permission of those companies.
Wow. All right. Well, we are out of time today. Thanks for listening, and thanks to today's show sponsor, I Promote You. Tune in next week, same time, same place, when Joe will entertain us with his Irish brogue.